amen in the original languages means may it be so. May it be so. So when you pray and you get to the end of your prayer and you say amen, what you're saying is everything I just said, may it be so. So praise God, all creatures here below, amen, may it be so, right? So we got to remember that. We continue now with 1 Peter. And I find it, I'm always amazed at God, as we should always be, but I'm always amazed at God how things kind of work out. I've said this before, I'm planning a sermon series on something or other, and the dates happen to coincide with things that are going on in the real world. So this whole book of 1 Peter is talking to Jewish Christians who are going through, as he says last week, various trials. So here we are. We've got the political unrest, we've got the COVID, and we're going to shut everything down, and then we're going to open things up, and then we're going to shut everything down. And Peter's trying to communicate one thing, hope. Hope, be hopeful. Because for a lot of reasons, but because of who you are and because of what God has guaranteed for you. So as we continue through 1 Peter, keep in mind the audience and his concept is, listen, folks, think of who you are and think of what you've got going. And keep that in mind when stuff happens to you. I don't have a translation that says it that way, but that's what Peter's trying to tell us. So we continue on now. We're in 1 Peter, still in chapter 1. We'll pick up at verse 13. So after all the encouragement to persevere in trials, Peter now calls us to do more than just hang in there. Today, Peter begins where he left off in the beginning of the letter with the word therefore, which, by the way, always alerts the reader that what comes next is grounded in what came before. So what is Peter saying, therefore? What is he talking about? Well, we're in verse 13, but remember what it said in back in verse 6, 7. It says, in this you rejoice, though for a while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's what he said. In this you rejoice, even though you may have to go through trials. Then he says some more thing, and then we come to today's verse where he says, therefore, because of what I just said. What came before is an affirmation that we are a special people. We're not better. We're just different. We are a special people with a purpose. So as we begin, whenever you go to God's Word, I encourage you to do that. Let's pray for God to open our hearts and our minds, shall we? Father God, as we come to your Word, as we read the words that Peter wrote so long ago, inspired by you, that we would hear your voice speaking through to us, that we would not be reading a historical document, but a lecture given to us by you. So open our hearts and our minds, Lord, as we delve into your word today. We ask this in Jesus' name. May it be so. So let's begin. If you have your Bible, we're going to be picking it up here at verse 13. We'll read 13 through 16 just to get us going. And it begins this way with the word, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Wow. A lot of stuff there. Look at the very first verse. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Now, it's always helpful to have different versions of the Bible. As you know, I like the English Standard, and that's what I preach out of. But it's been my experience that having another couple of different versions can help you get a sort of a three-dimensional look at what the Word is trying to say. So let's look at that first verse in the King James. In the King James, it says this, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Kind of a weird saying. Preparing your minds for action. Gird up your loins of your mind. Well, see, here's the preparing your minds for action doesn't capture exactly what Peter's trying to convey. It's grounded in the idea in that time period where individuals, you know, you've seen all the pictures. They typically wear long robes that reach down below their knees or even longer. So when someone said, gird up your loins, it has this idea of back then, you would pull up the edges of your robes, and like this guy here, you tuck that into your belt to prepare for running or walking or any strenuous activity or even war. So girding up your loins has the connotation of get ready for action. Get ready for action. So now, with that picture up there, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Well, we're going to get to the book of Thessalonians at some point down the road. And one of the things that's going on in that book is Paul is talking to the Thessalonians who are loving the Lord and waiting for the Lord to come back. And he has to get on them a little back because they ain't doing anything else. They're just sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back. And we're not supposed to be doing that. We have a long litany of instructions of what we're supposed to be doing. Yes, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. But we're not supposed to sit around on our hands. He's telling these Jewish Christians to gird up your loins and get ready for actions. So when Peter says, gird up